Morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Awesome. Good, good. So this is our last week in Colossians. We've been in Colossians this whole semester since the beginning of the year. You guys can go ahead and turn your Bibles. How many of you brought your Bibles today? Right on. How about a notebook? Pen and paper? Excellent. Right on. Still on that mission trip. Hi. Right on. So I want to do a little review of Colossians, just so we know where we're at, where we've been. So who wrote Colossians? Paul, right on. He wrote Colossians 2. Yeah, that was a gimme, guys. Come on. A church at Colossae. Where did he write this letter from? Prison. That's right. Why did he write this letter to the church? He wrote it because of false teaching. There's heresy going around in the church. So what was the first half of Colossians all about? What? Jackson, what are you?
What?
What was the first half of Colossians about? If Paul is writing this letter to combat false teaching and heresy, what was he writing about? Did you say the right stuff? That's genius. No, he's talking about the deity of Christ, right? Because the heresy, the false teaching was that was going around was that Christ wasn't God. So Paul clearly stated that, you know, Christ is God. He created all things, and all things were created through him and for him, right? So this is the first half of Colossians. So that's where we've been. Last couple weeks ago, Caleb was in Colossians 3, I think verses 12 through 14 or 15, and he gave us this: a life in Christ is a life like Christ. And so today we're going to be talking a little bit about kind of relating with each other, relating with believers, our relationships with one another in the church. But I wanted to go back to Caleb's teaching and just get this, make sure that we have this mindset that we have a relationship with God that was once broken, right? And then through Christ and his sacrifice on the cross and his redeeming work and the ministry of reconciliation, our relationship with God is restored. Before we can ever work on relationships with other people, before we can redeem and reconcile relationships with our brothers, our sisters, our friends, our parents, okay, we have to make sure that this relationship with God is right. Because there's no hope in fixing a relationship with somebody else if your relationship with God is not on track. You hear me? And before I even go any further, I said this in the last service, the junior high service. When I was on, I went to Memphis and last week, 2 weeks ago, and I've only been here at Fellowship for about a year, year and a half. I've been doing this residency program that you guys may know about. But I went on this mission trip, and I went with all of these students that you guys, most of you guys are here, but I didn't know you guys. I knew Andrew a little bit from SWAT, but I was about to spend a week with these students from FSM that I've been here all year. I've been teaching up here. I've been around. I've been here every Sunday, but I didn't know you guys, and it kind of blew my mind because, and I'll let you guys in kind of on my life and my heart a little bit. I spent 4 or 5 years in and out of high school working with a Christian ministry that did a lot of leadership, development, public speaking, just discipleship stuff. And I have a huge heart for students, for young people, specifically for them to realize and understand that what's your name? Matt, that your identity is in Christ. Like, your worth and your value is found in the fact that you've been created in the image of God. That's where your worth as a human being comes from. Same with Nathan. And what do they call you around here? They call you something. What? Boz? Boz. Okay. All right. I wasn't even going to try it. Boz. Bozatov. Okay. But dude, your worth and your identity is found in Jesus Christ. And like, and that's what I want, like, that's the connection I want students to make. You guys hear me? There was a baptism in the last service. Jules, I think your last name is Velikat, right? And so Mr. Velikat was up here, and he's like, Jules, there's no greater joy as your father than to see you commit your life to the Lord. I have brothers and I have sisters. Or I have a brother and I have sisters. And there's no greater joy in my life than when I saw my brother really start to take on his faith as his own. When I saw him waking up in the morning and reading his Bible without anybody telling him to. And then when he started talking to me about what the Lord was sharing in his life or teaching him in his life, I had never experienced a joy and a satisfaction in my relationship with my brother like that before. So I could relate to Mr. Velikat in a certain way. But my sister, she was very passive about her relationship with Jesus, about church, about God. Because she grew up in a Christian home, and that's all she ever heard. She's the youngest child, and it certainly comes with its challenges. Especially when you have older siblings that have a lot of personality or very outgoing and talk a lot about their faith. And it really, really hurt me for a long time when I saw her just very passively just not care about her faith. And I was traveling the country and I was teaching people about God and that, man, like, your identity is found in Christ, and these kids are starting to get it, and it was so awesome. And I go back home and I see my little sister and she just doesn't really care. And it broke my heart. I didn't know what to do. And praise the Lord, she's awesome. She's had an incredible 2 years, and she's a hero. I love her to death. But I want you guys, I say all of that because I realized when I was on this mission trip that these are my sisters and my brothers. And I don't know them. I don't know you guys. And I realized, I heard some things like, oh yeah, the FSM staff, they're celebrities. I'm like, that's, I'll just be real with you guys, that's crap, come on. And if that's how you guys feel, then I'm like, I sit here every other Sunday, right here, and I'm with you guys. There's no difference between us, except a couple years, maybe. I'm your brother. What's your name?
Brock.
Have I met you before? No, okay. It's a pleasure to meet you, man. You're my brother, and I love you. And that's for real. Because we're the church. This is the body of believers, right? And that I want you guys to know that is my heart. You are my sister, and I love you. Okay? It kind of blew my mind. I don't even know these people. And I don't think you understand my love and my desire for you guys to know Christ and to find your worth and your identity in him. That gives me so much joy. to see you brothers and sisters make that connection and live it out. And so even though we don't know each other very well, I want you guys to hear the rest of what I have to say. I don't want it to come from this FSM staff person that you don't know very well. I want it to come from, that's my brother, Trevor, Parker. I love you guys. And my heart and the reason I'm up here talking to you is because I love you, and I want you to know that your worth and your value, again, is in the fact that you've been created in the image of God. That's the only reason I'm here. Hayden, I love you, man. Let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray over the next 15, 20 minutes that your truth and your word would go forth, and that your grace and your love would penetrate our hearts, and that we would be changed, and that, Father, that we would love each other and love you and go out in the community and share our faith and share this love that's changed our lives. Father, I pray that you'd speak through me and your word, and that we would all be encouraged. to live out this truth that we know. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we're going to be in Colossians 4. Colossians chapter 4. And so like I said, this is our last week in Colossians. We're finishing it out. So I get the last couple verses. And Hunter, when Hunter told me this, he's like, hey man, you're going to be closing out Colossians. You got verses 7 through 18. I was like, sweet man, sounds good. Look it up. And it's just like, this person sends his greetings. This person sends his greetings. This is Paul, over and out. It's like, so what exactly am I going to... Okay, I got it. But so I've been reading over this a lot the past couple weeks. Because I think we can very easily just get to this final greetings part and read like, I don't know how to pronounce that guy's name. They send their greetings to this church. There's a lot of other great stuff in the book of Colossians you can study. And I think a lot of times we skip over these last few parts. Okay, but the past couple weeks that I've been reading through this, some things have really stuck out. And I'm really excited to share what God's been teaching me in my own life. JP, do you mind turning this down a little bit? I'm excited to share just what my experience, what I've been reading, what I've been learning. I don't necessarily have this awesome idea that the Lord has told me to give to you guys. I just want this to be, hey, I'm your brother. I've been reading some of the Bible, and I just want to share with you guys what's going on in my own heart. So Tychicus, let's read all the way through this. Okay, we're going to do this. I'm going to try to pronounce these names. Don't laugh at me like the little kids did last service. It was really embarrassing. So Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He's coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas sends greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. So this guy, Tyche, I found him one other time in the New Testament, in Ephesians, where he's doing the same thing for Paul. He's carrying a letter that Paul's written to a church, and he's going for the express purpose to tell the church what's going on with Paul's life and to encourage their hearts. So this guy Tyche is probably, I'm thinking he's a disciple of Paul's. Kind of a messenger boy, and no negative connotation there. You know, they didn't have email back then, so they actually had to physically go send a text message to somebody. But Tyche is Tyche's probably a disciple. I think his spiritual gift has got to be encouragement, because Paul says he's sending Tychicus to the Ephesians and to the Colossians for the express purpose to tell the church about what's going on in Paul's life and to encourage them. And Paul gives him pretty high praise. He says, Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. And those three things, when I kept reading this whole passage, those three things kept coming back to like, man, those are as I read that the first couple times, I just kind of breezed through those things, and I kind of clumped them all up into the same, like, okay, he's a good dude. That's what that means. But these are three very distinct characteristics or accolades or whatever that this guy, that Paul is praising this man for. Tyche is a dear brother. He's a faithful minister. And he's a fellow servant in the Lord. And Paul's in prison, and he writes this letter from, he's writing this letter to the church. It's pretty important because he's correcting heresy. It's a pretty big deal that this letter gets to where it needs to be. Right? So he doesn't just attach it to a carrier pigeon and send it off. But he gives it to somebody he really trusts. His boy Tyche. I like Tyche. So Tyche is, what I want you guys to get from Tyche is that he's not the upfront guy. He's not the guy who's been necessarily called by Jesus in a miraculous way to go preach the gospel and be in a position of authority and leadership over all these churches like Paul has been, right? He's not a Moses or a Noah. Nobody's ever done a character study on Tyche. I thought I saw a hand. I was like, that's not true. But Tyke's just this average dude. Again, no negative connotation, but just kind of, he's a disciple of Paul. He's just an average guy. But he's playing a very important part. He plays a very important role in the ministry of the church at Colossians and the church at Ephesus and in Paul's ministry. Because Paul can't do what he's doing without Tyche, right? So I want you to get this. You are the body of Christ, each and every one of you. Each and every one of you. A specific, unique, important, necessary piece of the body of Christ. Just because you are a student in FSM does not mean that you cannot minister to the brother or sister next to you. Just because you're not a Mickey or Sam or Hunter or whatever, a cell group leader or whatever, doesn't mean that you are not a very crucial, important piece of this church. You play a role in this church. It's like Tyche. He plays a very important part, a very important role. He has a spiritual gift of encouragement. So Paul sends him to send the letter, but also to encourage the hearts of those at the church. What's your spiritual gift? Fellowship has a spiritual gift assessment test. I encourage you guys all to go check that out and figure out what that is. Again, because you play a very important role in the body of Christ. You need to be you. 1 Timothy 4:12, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Your age does not matter. And maybe you guys have heard this a lot. Maybe you've never heard it before. It doesn't matter how old or how young you are. It doesn't matter if you are a student or if you are in a position of leadership or authority. Your impact and your influence is not determined by a title, student principal, student pastor. Do you guys understand that? So a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant. I want to talk about these things and how we need to play these roles in our body. Because all of these things are a two-way street as well. But let's dear brother, okay? Again, this is the part that you guys play in the church. So be a dear brother. I'm not talking about just being a bro. Like, oh yeah, that guy's a bro. But no, who do you think of? When you're Paul and you're in prison and you are writing an incredibly important letter that's been inspired by God and you need somebody to deliver it to this church across the world, who do you think of? Who are you going to trust to send this letter? A dear brother. How many of you guys have that bro that you, he is a dear brother. I know I can go to that guy. I trust that guy. Or sisters, you know, she's got your back. She is a dear sister. These are the relationships that we all should have. When our relationship with God is in line, then our relationship with others, this is the role that you guys can play in the church. You can minister to Jackson better than I can. You get that? Emily, you can minister to Emma better than I can, or better than Abby could, or Shelby, or whoever, by being a dear sister. That's the role that you guys play. It's my family. I love them. It's hilarious. My brother, he's a freaking character. Jeez. He's awesome. But he is a dear, dear brother. He's my only brother. I picked on him and bullied him a lot when we were younger, and our relationship was just always on the rocks when we were growing up. I mean, we were best friends, but we were also best enemies. But man, like, once we grew up, like, the older that we got and the more that we both realized, like, man, we have something special. He's my only blood brother. Like, that means a ton. And my mom always told me when I was growing up, whenever he would get on my nerves or was like, I cannot take another day with this guy. And we shared a room for 18 years. She was always like, Danny, Ben is a gift from God to you. Ben is a gift from God because the Lord will use him to teach you very important lessons in your life. And she told me that for like 13, 14 years, and I never believed her. And I could stand here and tell you that your brother and your sister, they are a gift from God to you. An absolute incredible gift from God that he will use to make you into the person that you were made to be. You may have heard that, and I could tell you that, and you may not believe it, but it's so true. And having a brother and sister, a dear brother and sister, is so valuable. Again, it's a two-way street, though. It takes intentionality. And it's going to be really hard because you want to have a good relationship with them, but you're not getting anything from them. In the church, we got to step up. We have to be brothers and sisters. Dearly loved brothers and sisters. That's a role that you guys can play. Being a faithful minister. How, as a student, can I be a faithful minister? What's my role in the church? Do you know the gospel? Do you guys know the gospel? Jesus came down here to this earth, lived a perfect life, died on the cross. 3 days later, rose from the dead. By his wounds, we were healed. We have eternal life in God. It's his free grace, his free gift through grace. If you know truth, all you have to do is speak truth into somebody's life, and you're ministering to them. You just got to be faithful to do it. Have you guys ever heard of the Gospel Primer by Milton Vincent? It's an incredible, incredible book. Very, very short little book, but it is filled, jam-packed with gospel truths. Milton says that there's no way for me to love my brother or sister better than to love them with the gospel. When I sit down and have a conversation with you about how you are wonderfully and fearfully made in God, is this awkward for you? No, a little bit? Okay. That in sharing the gospel with you and just affirming that in your life, there's no better way I could love you. There's no better way I could love you than to minister to you with the truth of the gospel. I mean, that your worth is found in Christ. Don't believe all this other crap. So minister to one another. Preach the gospel to one another. Speak truth in life. Pray always. Highway 34, you guys can be a leader in 56. Cell group leaders that are here, you guys are incredible. Ryan, Elizabeth, you guys are awesome. They are ministering to all of you, to the cell groups. Sorry, man. Just right. This guy as well. But seriously, you guys, there are opportunities to serve and to minister to younger students. Always. If it's not just a conversation you have at the lunch table or dinner table, sign up to lead a group in the church. Be a faithful minister. Be a fellow servant. We just got back from mission trips. And you know, I think it's always crazy. This was my first mission trip with Fellowship, but I've been on others before. And I think it's crazy how kids are so eager to serve when they're away, and then when they come back, and dad says, hey, can you rake the leaves in the backyard? Hey, can you mow the grass? And you just did that with a smile from ear to ear for this family that you've never met before and you don't know and probably will never see again. But you get back, and the guy that you're, I mean, your dad, your mom, whatever, the person providing for you and loving on you. You can't do it with a good attitude when you get back home. I always thought that's the weirdest thing. Myself included. I'd come back and I wouldn't love on my brothers or sisters as much as I loved on those little kids in the orphanage. So serve at home. Be a fellow servant. Serve alongside each other. We grow together so much when we go on these mission trips. So we're working all day, every day, and we're growing, and we're bonding, and we're laughing, and we're living life, and we're serving. It's that mindset of, hey, we're here to work. We're here to serve. We're here to love. It's that mindset that everybody has. It's that unity that brings us all close together. It's not just because you're in Guatemala, and you guys are like, tight, we're in Guatemala, like we're all best friends now. No, it's because, and we're here to love on other people. When I see Blake loving on this little kid, it encourages me to love on this little kid. And then me, like, I have a mutual respect for Blake. I didn't go to Guatemala with him, but that's just an example of, you know, like, did you guys see that in Ecuador? You see Luke working his butt off, right? You see Spencer working his tail off, all right? And you're like, man, he's in it. And that encourages you to do the same. That can be the same atmosphere right here. One mind, serving together. We rake so many leaves in Memphis, guys. Oh my gosh. Like, so I thought this was a cool picture. We're like, these guys are bonding, right? I love that. So walking away from the day, what role do I play in the church? As a student, again, guys, wow, your influence and your impact can be huge. If somebody can say about you, yeah, he's a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant. Live it out. Be like Tyke. Be like Jesus. But Tyke was also a great example. So your role in the church. And I want to add some of these on here too. And the band can go ahead and come up. You guys are ready. Be a brother, find a brother. Be a sister, find a sister. Find somebody that you can live life with. You can be accountability partners with. You can just share what's going on. It's a two-way street. You got to be intentional. Have conversations. If you want that, tell somebody you want that. I feel like there are all these things that we're thinking and we don't communicate. And you just go back home and you're like, man, I wish me and this guy were tight. he could be saying the same thing back at home. Or, man, that girl's really cool. Like, she's living her life really well. I wish we could be friends or just talk because I feel like I could learn something from her. Tell her that. Just communicate. Be a minister, find a minister. Your cell group leaders, take them seriously when they say that they love you and want to invest in you. Take them up on going out to lunch and just ask them, hey, can you pour into my life? Can you just speak truth in my life? Don't be afraid to communicate, to be intentional. Things aren't just going to happen naturally all the time. We got to communicate. Hey, I've been praying, and I feel like I need this in my life. Hey, Ryan, hey, can we go out to lunch? Can you just minister to me? It's as easy as that, guys. Be a servant and serve alongside other people. What is it, Luke? What is it? It's a mentality. It's a mindset. Right? We are the body. We have one mind, one goal. To share the gospel with not just people who haven't heard it before in Ecuador, but with this guy and this guy. You know what I'm saying? One mind to share the gospel, to love God and to love others, to be a brother and a sister, to minister to one another, to serve with one another. I love you guys. I loved serving with you guys in Memphis and getting to know you. It was a very random group of people that I spent a week with, and I got to know and just love dearly. And I know if I spent that week with anybody else in this room, that I would have just as deep a love and relationship with you that I have now with the people I went to Memphis with. So that's why I can say I love each and every one of you, because if I had an experience like that with each and every one of you, I know we would be best friends. Why can't we have that experience? I'll take anybody out to lunch and get to know them. I'll go on a mission trip with you guys any day. I love you guys. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word and your truth and your love and your grace, your faithfulness, your righteousness, your holiness, for who you are. Father, please minister to us as we worship and we sing praise to you. Father, I pray that it would be a sweet-smelling sacrifice to you. Father, I pray that you would send brothers into our lives and you would send ministers into our lives and that we would serve alongside other people, that we would just live out what we believe, that we would be intentional. Father, I pray for these students as they go back to school this week. I pray that you would give them opportunities to be courageous, that you would give them opportunities to lead and to minister.